We like to do nobody evangelism. In other words, well, let's put it this way. If Jesus were to be in Rochester, Michigan, that Detroit metro area, on Sunday, I do not think he would come to our church. In fact, I think if he was in town a month, I would be very surprised to see him. Not because I don't think I belong to him or him to me, but it's because we already know each other. He's going to be out visiting the people we've missed, the people we've overlooked. We established a third service. It started with about 20 people, and we got it up to about 280 before we merged it with another service. And it was designed for people that didn't know anything about church and weren't sure if they liked it. We're pretty sure they didn't, but they were going to give it another shot. And it's been a lot of fun. The stories out of third service have been a hoot. There was a group that would come in and sit in the back, a little herd of them, long hair, looked like they'd gone face first into a tackle box, you know, all the piercings and it was a very odd looking group. And I kept trying to get close to them because those are my people. And yet I know that I look like the love child of Pat Boone and Lawrence Welk, and it terrifies them. And so every time I would try to get close to them, they would scatter like wildebeest on the plain. Eventually I trapped one. I caught him getting a drink, funnily enough, and separated from his herd. And he was trying to scoot around, and he had a t-shirt on with a Fender guitar on it. And I said, "I've got one of those." And he goes, "One of these t-shirts?" I said, "No, one of those guitars." And he says, "You have guitars?" And I said, "Yes, my house looks like a music shop. I've got them all over the place. We got to play sometime." And in his head, he's thinking, under no circumstances. Outside, he goes, "Okay." We started talking, and eventually I formed a relationship with these men. And one of them, the oldest one among them, probably in his early 40s, long hair down to here and a ponytail, all kinds of piercings and tattoos, he confessed something to me. He said, "I never thought I'd be back inside of a church building again." I said, "Well, a lot of people think that when they go into a church building. A lot of people have that idea." And he goes, "No, I used to be a preacher." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, in the Church of Christ." "Really? Well, tell me that story." Well, he hurt his back, had an injury, fell off a motorcycle, got addicted to pain pills. When the pain pills ran out, he found other medication, and he found self-medication, and he found alcohol, and he lost his wife, and he lost his job, and he lost his goods, and he lost his house, and he was lost. And so he wandered out there in the under the overpass type people for a decade or two, and was just now trying to get his life back in order a little bit when his friends had drug him to church. And I said, "All right, Pete, you've left me with an issue. I want to meet people like you. Where can I meet them?" And he says, "You can't." I said, "Fair enough. But where do people like you gather when you need community? Because everybody needs community. So where's your community?" He said, "Tattoo parlors." "Oh, really? Tell me about that." And he goes, "Well, getting a tattoo is an intensely physical, intimate experience. And you remember everything that was said, everybody that was in the room. This is when you really open up." I went, that's incredible. "But I can't reach them," you said. And he said, "No, not the way you look." I went, "All right. Well, then, Pete, you've left me with one of two options. I can either go find a tattoo artist and send him to seminary, or I can send you to tattoo school." And he said, "You wouldn't do that." And I said, "Not only would I do it, watch this." I went up to the stage and just threw out a whole bunch of baskets. We call them the magic baskets. So threw them on the stage. I said, "Here's what we're going to do." Told him the story. I said, it is not okay with me that tattooed people have no Jesus because they don't want to come in our building. People don't have to come in our building to go see Jesus. We all agreed with that. So let's go to them. Let's send him to tattoo school. We got the money, opened a shop, and we're the first Church of Christ with its own tattoo parlor. For a long time, it was on 9 Mile and Ryan, which, if you don't know where that is, it's beside the burned out school bus and by the crack dealer. It's right in there. So it's pretty, well, I guess we need to be more specific which bus and which crack dealer. But anyway, and the economy killed it. So what did we do? We decided, I talked to him. I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I'd still like doing this work, but Detroit's not the place for it now. I said, all right, what would work? He goes, well, I lived in Portland once and it would work there. So baskets came out and we sent him and a group to Portland. So now we've got the first tattoo missionary effort. Now, I don't particularly care for tattoos. I'm not going to get one. At my age, you start with a dolphin, it ends up being a blue whale. You know, sorry for the visual, but I don't want that. But that's a phrase we use a lot in our church, is it's not okay with me. It's not okay with me if the addicted people don't go to see Jesus because they're ashamed to be with us. If I cannot change us, and the likelihood is I can't, I need to find a way to reach them with their own people.